Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs Podcast. We're a podcast all about the movies. We're the only podcast on Earth that talks about the movies. Can't believe no one else has thought of this before.
Yeah, you'd think.
We also invented podcasts.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
It's so weird that we're the only guys. It's crazy.
It's like, yeah, that thought of this, like, this method of recording a discussion for later playback.
Specifically fantastic. About movies too.
Yeah, it's not. I think the next thing we should think about is maybe monetizing it.
What? No, you can't do that.
You can't. Do you think there's any money?
No, not in podcasting. Not in streaming audio. No.
All right. Well, forget it then. Anyway, welcome.
Unless
to the show,
you're willing to spew right wing bullshit, you can't make money doing it.
Right.
So, welcome to the show, people. I'm your host, Steve Skelton. I'm here with fellow film pigs, Stephen Falk.
It's me, the one with the name.
And Todd Robert Anderson.
Hey, I'm the guy with the three names on this particular show.
Yeah, and we're going to talk some movies here on the Film Pigs podcast. But before we do that, we're also going to talk movies in a slightly different way.
What?
Because we're gonna talk about what have you seen lately.
Oh my God.
When did we last do a podcast?
A month ago.
Like a month ago, yeah.
Like a month?
So, yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah, about.
You guys hadn't seen Maverick
right
last month, so that
right,
would be
right,
one.
Right, right, right.
Potentially.
Yeah. So let's just start, Todd. What have you seen lately?
Okay, I'll start. I'll say I just saw Maverick, but I saw Maverick after you guys. You guys both told me
right
that I should go see Maverick in the theater, so I finally did. I agree. I think you should see Maverick in the theater if Maverick's a thing that you want to see. I liked it a lot more than the first one because the good thing for me about the first one was the jets dogfighting each other in the air. And that was also what was good about the second one, but the second one did a much better job of capturing it. I think because just
it had better jet porn.
It just could technologically capture actual practical.
Well, Tom Cruise was only OT4.
Oh,
during the original Top Gun, but now he's all the way over the bridge to freedom.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see how much he improved.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great.
Here's my thing. Like, I don't want to be one of the people who's like, rah, rah, Top Gun Maverick, because I don't think it's actually a great movie. I think it's a wildly entertaining popcorn piece of garbage. And I wondered what you guys thought about that. I mean, like, this movie has almost no narrative to speak of. It's just a guy who has to teach a bunch of other people to fly jets for a particular mission, which turns out to be exactly the same mission that they had at the end of the very first Star Wars movie. And other than that, like, character development is almost nil. The love interest is in Jennifer Connelly, who's gorgeous and charming as ever.
Yes,
but like one thing that she does as an actress through the whole film, and I don't think this is her fault, what else was she given to do, is to just look knowingly every time Tom Cruise comes into the room, and that knowingness is she knows she's gonna bone him. I assume that's what she knows.
That's all she does. Yeah,
every
that's
time
what she
sees him, she look. Yeah, that's the thing. And also, I know people get piled on the social meds for saying, well, this is kind of weird militaristic propaganda, isn't it? It's a little bit fascist. And I think that's a fair criticism of what the movie is. But I do hope that its giant success leads to more right-wing action cinema. Because it's been a long time since we've had one that's like just pure the black and white bad guys, even though, you don't really know who the bad guys are in this movie. It's deeply vague, but
just like the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Americans are the good guys, but somehow they're the underdogs, even though they have gazillions of dollars worth of technology at their fingertips. They do work very hard to paint them as underdogs in this movie, but it's all very silly. I think the best outcome of its giant success is maybe we'll get a new actual theatrically released, Rambo movie or something. Or maybe Chuck Norris will come back.
I don't necessarily see that as a best case scenario.
No.
Maybe a likely one.
Well, I mean, how did you feel about the movies? I mean, were you guys just good with it as just a shiny, fun popcorn thing, or were there anything tickling the back of your head that made?
I thought it was a really surprisingly well done Tony Scott clone popcorn movie that I enjoyed very, very much. But if you go into a Top Gun movie and then, like, halfway into it, realize, like, hey, this is kind of jingoistic. You know, I think you haven't been paying attention. No, you know, that's kind of...
No. Yeah, that's true. I'm not saying it's... I'm not... It's probably wrong-headed. Most, you know, action movies probably are. But I'm not saying, like, I walked into it knowing I was going to look at a great advertisement for joining the Navy. That's what I knew what I was going to see.
It's a war movie.
Yeah.
How do you name a war movie that isn't jingoistic?
Full Metal Jacket?
Well, that's an anti-war movie. This is a pro-war movie.
I didn't realize that it was separate. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, of course. But that's what I'm saying. It's like in
Kill the Enemy.
In our modern world,
whoever they are, it's unclear. Maybe we should just kill them anyway.
Kill them.
There are war movies and then there are war propaganda movies. And I guess this is propaganda versus being a thoughtful movie about, you know, war.
It's a thoughtful movie about four-team football.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. With no scoring. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't... Look, what the movie lacked was not anything I needed. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's some movies that require, you know, well-rounded characters, plot, love interest, backstory, human stakes. But those all were wildly unnecessary. I mean, you know, the Goose's son being angry that you let my dad die. Yeah, that was all I needed. That was enough. That's enough. It's enough, you guys.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's like you don't need you don't need like more courses to go with your plate of pizza rolls.
Yeah, right. I agree. This is everything I want from an action movie, except I thought there were long swaths where there weren't enough action, but that's the problem with the original as well.
Look, if you want plot and character development, you're looking at more swaths of no action. So zip it, Anderson.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You know, some of my film geek friends get mad at me when I say there's too much talking in this movie, which they say is character development. And this movie did
sometimes
a good job.
Sometimes it's just too much talking.
Yeah, sometimes it is. And sometimes character development isn't... talking does not equate actual character development.
Yeah.
And I think it's possible to develop characters through action, even in a movie that's an action movie. I think you can do that. But other people disagree with me. But I agree with you. I'm glad this movie didn't get lost in us caring about the characters too much.
Stephen Falk, what have you seen lately?
What are we doing? Three?
I don't know. Maybe just one, because we just spent a lot of time on Tom
Sawyer. Yeah, that was a lot.
I had a couple others. I mean, I have some others.
Yeah, I'm just going to list the ones I saw.
Please.
I saw Old.
Oh, yeah.
Shyamalan.
Yeah, the beach panic.
It's, I thought it was going to be janky. That's the jankiest fucking movie I've ever seen in my life. Boy, oh boy, that was dumb. And then, like, they really kept recasting the kids. And then at the end, it's like some fucking, like, who was the Incredible Hulk when he wasn't Frigno, when he was just, Bill Bixby? It was some Bill Bixby looking motherfucker than that. Nat, what's his name? Nat Fox or whatever Wolf had turned into. And janky ass movie. It was so stupid. That lady who was like, don't look at me. And then she turned into a witch and her arms kept bending back.
Oh, yeah. And then she just turned into like a pretzel.
It was like
like a crab.
It was like that scene from Suspiria where the dancer's just breaking her arms and shit. That movie was dumb as fuck, man. Holy shit. I saw Top Gun. I saw Under the Skin. I'd never seen that. I like that a lot.
Oh, is that the
Scarlett Johansson?
Scarlett Johansson draws guys into a floor.
Guys into like a oily sex floor.
Yeah, into like her sexy death pudding.
An oily sexy death pudding. That's my band name.
I had never seen Nashville, the Altman movie. I realized I'd never seen that.
The sequel to the
no, the original Nashville.
No, but was it
the one about Nashville?
No, Nashville's sort of. I mean, I guess if it has a sequel, it's unofficially Shortcuts, but that's Nashville's.
No, like, Nashville.
Oh wait, am I thinking of something else? I thought Nashville was like the follow-on to Last Picture Show.
No,
Texasville.
Oh, Texasville. Damn it. Never mind.
Nashville's the Altman's, you know, regarded as his best movie, and it's like a pastiche of like 2.5 hours of random people.
Regarded as his best movie. He directed Popeye.
Yeah. Anyway, Nashville, slow burn. I'm not always down with Altman's sort of found footage style of shooting, but I quite liked it. I saw The Northman.
Oh yes, I saw The Northman.
Did you?
Northman.
You're into it. Okay, cool.
Fucking
did
love
I
that,
say? North. Did I say that?
You liked it. You liked it. Yeah, you didn't love it, but I was fully on board. It was just batshit over the top. You know, fucking history fetish and violence porn.
Yes. Yeah.
And trapezoids. Yeah. And look, I don't like Ethan Hawke. I don't like Nicole Kidman. I don't like Alexander Sarsgaard as actors generally. And they were all fine. And Robert Eggers, you know, he did Lighthouse, which I love.
How
loved
do you
him.
Usually feel about Bjork?
I'm fine with Bjork. I've only seen her in like one movie, but
The Northman?
Yeah, no, Dancer in the Dark, right?
Yeah, the Dancer in the Dark.
Yeah, but she's also in the
So North. Now you've seen it too.
Yes. Anyway, like Northman. And then yesterday or Sunday I took my kids to see The Bad Guys, which has been out for a while.
The animal.
Yeah, it's like a wolf, a spider, a shark, all these bad guys. And It was fine. It was all right. It was about a DreamWorks Animation level of movie. And the only annoying thing is I couldn't pick out any of the voices, which I'm usually really good at. Sam Rockwell was, I thought it was Owen Wilson. And Marc Maron was doing a Peter Falk, Danny DeVito, and he did a great job. Like,
really?
I was absolutely stumped who it was. Yeah. Anyway, it's good. It's fun. It's a heist movie with animals.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Skelton, do you want me to just list everything that I saw?
Yeah, I listed.
In addition, or do you want to go?
Well, let me go, and then I'll let you wrap it up with a short list.
It's only three. There's only three other titles.
All right. Well, I saw the duo of the Chris Hemsworth produced Netflix shows.
Oh.
I saw Interceptor. That stars his wife, Elsa Pataky, is an actioner where she's like a army lady who is defending like an oil platform that's like got like nuclear missile interceptor missiles on it, and bad guys are trying to turn it off so the world can be nuked.
I've not heard of this garbage.
It's terrible.
Yeah. It's really bad. I tried to watch it too.
It's really tough because I mean it kind of plays like a TV, like a movie of the week TV movie, in kind of its style. And the script is feels like I don't know. It's weird. It feels like a real first draft of like, this is one of my early screenplays that's now getting produced. It had that kind of weird, because all the dialogue was very stilted and the characterization was very two dimensional. I did like her though. I thought she was pretty fun and compelling and was really kind of, you know, bringing it as much as possible to the super low budget.
Yeah, she was a little bit wasted on this.
Yeah, yeah. I was a little disappointed that, you know, the material on the whole wasn't, well, like she was
And for the budget, it's an overreach. It's like when you do a B movie, like make it more. I don't want to say contained, not like in a house, but just the story shouldn't be the whole world and all
yeah,
the
it's
missiles.
Yeah, it's gonna die. Yeah, it should have been like a more contained stakes that were contained yeah. to the platform and not like, oh, millions of people are going to die.
Like, she
yeah.
should have done like a, remember that Schwarzenegger movie, one of the late ones, The Last Stand, you know, where he's just a sheriff in a small town and he has to deal with some bigger thing coming into the town. That's what should have been done with that money.
Yeah. Anyway, so I saw that and then I saw Spiderhead.
Mm-hmm.
The movie that Kaczynski had time to direct because in the period where Top Gun release was delayed.
And he wanted to spend more time with Miles Teller.
Yeah.
In the hopes of getting COVID.
Yeah. So, and that one again was like, actually, it's pretty stylish and, you know, I think it's shot really nice. But again, it's not like the script is kind of blah. It's a little thin in kind of its whole premise.
Ow.
Chris Hemsworth is working really, really hard to carry the movie through the whole thing. And it's kind of like even his charm can't quite carry it all the way through.
Well, he does do a psycho dance. And I love it when Chris Hemsworth plays a psycho and dances in that movie about the hotel on the border of two states. You know what I'm talking about? Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yeah, Bad Times at the
El
Royale.
He plays a cult leader, and he's fantastic, and he does this crazy
It does make sense thing. That the movie's thin because it's based on a short story.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Which I read,
anyway,
which is good.
So those are my couple. So Todd, real quick, what are your...
Yeah, I saw that one. I agree with your assessment. I mean, for me, that one like started good, and then... At the halfway point, it started to become very silly.
With Spiderhead?
Yeah, Spiderhead just got very silly.
It's nice opening, and then it kind of...
It was creepy for a while, and I was into it. I was like, oh, where's this going to go? And then it goes to the place it's going to go at about the halfway point, and then it keeps going for another hour, and it becomes very silly. The other movies I saw, speaking of straight-to-streaming type movies, I saw... Last Seen Alive, the new Gerard Butler movie, which, and I'm a huge Butler fan and I kind of depend on him for my action movie fixes. This is shit. This is total and utter shit. I don't know if you remember, like these guys all transitioned. Bruce Willis did and Steven Seagal did. And that's the one that I'm most familiar with, the transition where Steven Seagal was doing his last couple theatrical ones. And then like in there, in between the video releases of his theatrical ones were these straight to video ones. And the disparity of budgets was huge because, you know what I mean? They probably pay. They probably pay these stars their salaries. And that's where the budget is.
And then whatever's left.
Yeah, whatever's left. It looks so bad. It looks so cheap. It looks worse than most of the things Bruce Willis has put out in the last number of years.
Yikes.
It was deeply and utterly disappointing. And I hope this is not a, what's the word, harbinger?
A trend, a harbinger. Maybe the movie was shot in motion smoothing.
Maybe
shot in.
I hope so.
So even if filmmaker mode is turned on your TV, you still get motion.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's in cinema mode.
It's shot in motion smoothing. Fuckers.
The final one I saw is Jurassic Park, Dominion.
Dominion.
Everything you've heard about it is correct.
Yeah.
It sucks. The worst part about it is Sam Neill, Jeff Goldblum, and Laura Dern, all three are as bad as everybody else.
Wow.
It's awful. Aww. It really is.
Catching.
And also, it's a dinosaur movie, and it was mostly about B.D. Wong and locusts. I love B.D. Wong so much. Stop wasting him.
And I love locusts.
And stop wasting locusts.
All right. That was What Have You Seen Lately, everybody. Thanks a lot. And let's move on to our subject. Burn, Hollywood, burn. I smell a riot going on. First the guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, oh, yeah. That means it's time for our subject, our pig picture, if you will, as we're doing a pig picture podcast. I neglected to mention at the top because I didn't have time to prepare a full episode. But pig picture, we're taking a look at 2022 summer movie predictions. We've kind of already gotten into our summer movie release schedule, and we want to take a look at a few pictures that are coming out over the rest of the summer and get your take on what you think. Is it going to be a hit? Is it going to be a bomb? Is it just going to, is it going to create a new COVID variant? You know, what's it going to do? So, and just a quick kind of recap of kind of where we are right now. We're recording on the 21st. So the, kind of the big movies, the theatrical releases that, have come out so far, in their worldwide, grosses or, ticket sales up to this point, starting about May 6th, the big one, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, the Marvel show worldwide, it's at $943 million.
What?
Yep. May 20th, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers came out, which is a delightful film.
I agree.
It's quite a bit of fun. It's worldwide is at $602 million.
Jesus, right now. Fucking
not
shit.
Not too shabby. And well deserved. It's actually, it's a very much a, it's a Roger Rabbit style kind of
602 million?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
No.
Did you see
May
it?
24th.
Falcon?
No. No.
Oh. It's fun.
No,
I
know.
I quite liked it. Then we got our Top Gun Maverick, came out on May 24th. It's worldwide as of this recording is at $887 million.
Do you guys think that Maverick has the possibility of
Beating Doctor Strange?
Of beating Doctor Strange and then beating Avatar and then beating...
No.
I don't think it's
going
to go that far.
It could be Tom Cruise's first $1 billion gross.
Yeah. I think it might have enough legs to get to a billion.
It's crazy that Tom Cruise hasn't had a $1 billion movie yet. Huh. Okay.
All right, then we got June 10th was Jurassic World Dominion, and it's worldwide currently is at $623 million.
Fuck off, really?
Yeah, not doing too bad.
The world is stupid.
And then Lightyear came out on June 17th as a bit of a disappointment. It's at $84 million worldwide right now.
Yeah. Well, the reason why it failed is they didn't use Tim Allen to do the voice. I mean, that's what I've learned from Fox News.
So that's where we are with some of the releases, the big releases so far. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up next and what we think is going to happen. So June 24th, this weekend, there's a little movie called The Black Phone that is releasing. And I do believe these are all, everything on my list is going to get a theatrical release. If I'm wrong, you know, this is a free podcast. The Black Phone stars Ethan Hawke. He's playing a child kidnapper. It's an adaptation of a Joe Hill story, Stephen King's kid. Scott Derrickson has directed it, did the first Doctor Strange and Sinister and some other horror-y stuff. I like him and his horror shows. So Black Phone, what do we think?
I think it's going to be a stealth hit. I don't know how many theaters it's debuting in. It's probably a Blumhouse picture, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
You know, I think the guy has good cred. And those, you know, those Blumhouse-y movies are fucking, you churn them out. They do well. They make way more money than I ever would have think. So I think that's going to debut to like a nice $31 million and go on to break 100.
31 to 100. Okay, that's a bold prediction.
Bold, very bold. Yep.
It's been a soft year for horror.
Yeah. No, it's true. No, and I mean, I like the trailer. I think it looks pretty fun and interesting, and Ethan Hawke seems to kind of be embracing as he's gotten older. He's taking just weirder, crazier stuff.
Yeah.
To just choose some more scenery, which he
he's the actual evil thing in this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Ethan Hawke's done great with horror, I think. Indie horror, Blumhouse nonsense. Like, he was The Purge. He launched The Purge franchise.
That's right.
Sinister, directed by this same guy.
Sinister, yep.
So he seems to have very good luck with these horror movies. So the buzz on this thing is in the horror community is huge. Everybody's excited. So at the very least, this movie has its base. It's got its base going. It knows its base. So will that turn into 100 million over several weeks? I hope so.
Yes, I said yeah. I just said yes.
No, yeah, and you're right.
That's already settled.
But here's the thing.
Settled numbers.
I don't want to undercut you, Skelton, but it's opening against a Baz Luhrmann movie.
Right, that's the next one on my list.
So an R-rated horror movie going up against a PG-13 musical.
Different crowd.
Different crowds, yes, but yeah, that's true. That's true.
But let's move on to that June 24th, same weekend. Elvis, Baz Luhrmann, Tom Hanks.
Look, he was a hero to most, but he never meant shit to me. I'll just go out on a limb and say that. I think it looks bananas and potentially fun, but I think it's going to be pretty soft. It's Baz Luhrmann's more of an adult crowd, and Elvis certainly is, and Tom Hanks certainly is, and so I don't think it's gonna do that great. It'll probably do like 18.
Oh, okay. So you think that the number one movie at the box office this weekend, at least for new releases, will be the horror film?
Yeah, I say that with absolutely no numbers ahead in front of me about what the predictions are or how many theaters are going to be in. So
no, that's how we should do this. I don't know.
Massively uninformed.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. It could debut in three theaters. I'm still saying 18 million.
It's still going to be, because they're just going to charge more for the tickets.
That's right. They have to. Upselling.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do y'all think about the movie, though?
I heard it's fucking bonkers and over the top, just like Baz Luhrmann's stuff always is. I'm not a big Baz Luhrmann fan at all, actually. But I think it'll probably be fun to see, and I'll walk out going, ugh, that was a lot.
Can't believe that made 18.
But I'll probably see it.
I agree with everything that Steve just said.
Yeah.
Except for the end part about going to see it.
You're not going to see it.
I won't. I mean, it's a musical. It's not my thing. But it also, I don't know. People love that stuff. I don't get Baz Luhrmann. I don't get Moulin Rouge. Well, I don't get it.
I saw Moulin Rouge with my sister and my girlfriend at the time, and the audience at the La Brea Theater there were applauding and standing up, and we looked at each other and we were like, this is a prank show. We're on a prank show. Like, we were so fucking baffled.
Yep.
So clearly, like, Luhrmann has got, like, this kind of, you know, he's found this niche and he's found the audience, and he's kind of like as kind of like he is to kind of a musical movie as James Cameron is to kind of the big bombastic spectacle. Like, he's found the formula and audiences respond to it, and we're generally baffled as to why.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, 20 years later, Avatar 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which again, like, you know, it's like, it's insane. He's like, what, making like, what, two, three of these in back to back right now? Sequels like 10, 15 years later.
That's insane.
And, you know, I don't understand it. And I also would not bet against him.
No. I think that the Avatar movies are going to make a ludicrous amount of money, because I think there's a massive amount of people that I just don't know.
Or understand.
Or understand, well, that I don't hang out with. Somehow I've walled them off.
But the weird thing, though, is like Avatar was like this big, you know, phenomena when it came out, and then it disappeared out of the cultural kind of consciousness. It never became like, you know, like comic book conventions don't have a lot of Avatar cosplayers at them. You know, it's not like a, so there, it was like, it felt like something that was like, hit like at this particular moment and then fizzled out because it didn't have any like staying power to kind of remain in the pop culture consciousness.
Right.
And unlike like your Fast and Furious movies or your you know, your Star Wars.
But I bet the marketing campaign will be all about convincing us that it is.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The
marketing campaign is going to try to make us nostalgic about Avatar.
And the PR campaign will be about expanding it into a multiverse, so we have to go and see them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's part of the MCU.
It is.
Somehow.
Okay, so the consensus on Elvis is that it's going to also make us hate Avatar again.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
Awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. July 1st, we got a Minions, The Rise of Gru, a second spinoff of the Despicable Me series.
$62 million
yeah.
on the way to 850 worldwide.
And that's, yeah, and I now this is, now we're in your wheelhouse a little bit with experience, and
I hate the Minions, but
you
yeah.
have to go. You will have to go to.
I'm so no. glad I don't have to. My kid's too old. He doesn't give a shit about Minions. Oh, thank Christ Almighty.
I'm going to have a problem. I'm going to have a problem. Yeah. I can't take the Minions.
You can't do yeah. it?
I can't take them. No.
It's like a third movie of these little butt plugs running around.
It's fifth movie.
Butt plugs.
It's a fifth?
Yeah.
Do you have friends who'll go?
With my children?
Yeah. Because one time my kid really wanted to see Pixels, that Adam Sandler movie, and I didn't feel like I could do it. Yeah. I like sit and like enjoy it with him without becoming agitated and cranky. So friends of mine were like, yeah, we're going to go see it anyway. So
I don't know. Going to the movies with my kids is like my favorite thing to do. And even though they can't see movies I like yet, generally... I'm just warming them. I'm trying to make it a thing, so I'll probably end up taking them. Just
you know. So you didn't take them to see Crimes of the Future?
Not yet. They didn't really like the Cronenberg Crash. They didn't think that wounds were very sexy. So I'm hoping, you know, now they're 4 and 6, they're gonna fucking wake up.
God damn it. Fucking kids today. They're slow to learn.
Warm them up with Existenz.
Yeah.
Like video games. And
yeah, no, they kind of like Existenz, but they're not,
Did they like Videodrome with James Woods?
No, they didn't see Videodrome, but they got the Existenz LOL dolls, that set, and they play with that a lot. They love jacking in. They love connecting the LOL doll's belly button to the internet. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, you should show them Videodrome. Then they can get the dolls with the vaginas in their bellies. They look like James Woods.
Yeah. No. We'll do that. Yeah. I think Gru's going to do a lot of business.
Big money.
Big business. Yeah.
Here's an easy one. July 8th, Thor: Love and Thunder.
Giant money. It's going to start at 80 million and grow to almost a billion.
I think it's going to open at $1 billion.
$1 billion? Really? On the first day?
Yeah, day one.
I got to say, the trailer, it looks like a giant fucking misfire for me.
Did you see...
There has been...
I know. I mean, I asked that question. I knew the answer to the question when I asked it, but...
I'll go straight to... There's been no... Forget Marvel. There's been no comic book movie that hasn't looked like shit to me coming out in the last 2 years.
It really looks bad, though.
I finally saw the... What was the... Shang Lao... What was it called?
Shang-Chi.
I finally saw that. And it looked boring to me when I saw the trailer, and I thought the movie was kind of a flatline.
That one was disappointing because I really liked the train or the bus sequence.
Yeah, the bus sequence is fun, and the actors are very good.
The rest of the movie needed to be more bus sequence.
Yeah,
and it became kind of, you know, by the numbers CGI comic book movie.
And all of them do, and that's why they suck. I mean, my kid saw the new Doctor Strange the other day with his friend, you know, on his own, and I was like, what'd you think? And he's like, it sucked. And he likes the first one, and he was a big Marvel guy, but it's too much. They gotta take a break.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting this time. I mean, it's definitely gonna make $1 billion, but it's the big question is, like, this is also like the of the kind of like the original kind of Marvel Avengers group, like the Thor movies are, it's the only one to get a fourth.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And it kind of like Ragnarok kind of gave it a reboot.
Sure.
Cause Dark World was so blah, like really tedious. And then, Taika Waititi, did Ragnarok and gave it like, made it big and silly and goofy, and actiony fun. And so it's like, wow, can, I don't know if he can pull that off again.
I don't know. We'll see.
So, so yeah, Ragnarok, I really enjoyed it. It was a big, goofy popcorn comic.
Yeah, I know in my head I enjoyed it, but I can't tell you what happened during it. Or,
and that's okay, because that's not... I
can't remember any particular moments. Yeah.
It's just
the, I know I liked it.
It's just like Thor and Hulk and Tessa Thompson goofing around.
Sure, that's fine.
And you know, then fighting Kate Blanchett for a while. And it,
well,
you know, so
I am, maybe this one will be the same and I'll be fine. But I think I'm not going to risk. I mean, you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast what super spreaders there are. I'm not risking getting COVID again to see.
Oh, for movie. Thor: Love and Thunder. No,
I'll watch it on my TV. It'll be great. I'll have a great time. I might love it. It might be my favorite movie, but I'm not going to see it in the theater.
Yeah. Now, for a movie you want to see in the theater, though, how about our next one? Opening July 22nd. Nope.
Nope.
Nope. I mean, yep. 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 Yep.
I couldn't be more excited for this movie. Aliens and Jordan Peele and a healthy sense of humor.
Are you sure it's Aliens? I don't think it's Aliens.
It's a crazy trailer.
Well, they keep saying, you think it's one thing, but it's the other. I don't know.
Whatever. It's called Nope. It's the best title I've ever heard in my life. Why has no one made a movie called Nope yet? I mean,
because it's like, it's a marketing nightmare. Every critic. I mean, it's
a gimme
to critics.
No,
you gotta know it's good if you call your movie.
Yeah,
Nope.
I mean, it is a brave title because the Nope to Nope headline writes itself.
Doesn't matter. It's a genius headline. It's fucking genius. I mean, maybe hell nah would be. But Nope is great. I'm gonna see it. I'm not even gonna put a price tag on that shit. But it'd probably do like high 40s.
High 40s.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I'm definitely very, very excited to see it. Peele's stuff is great. I wish he would have gotten more Twilight Zone. I liked the Twilight Zone reboot.
That was fun.
Very, very excited. I hope it makes.
Are you guys watching all the trailers though? Because I like, there's a new extended trailer or something, and it started playing when I was at the dinosaur movie, and I ran out because I don't want to see anymore.
I haven't seen a new trailer.
No, you got to go in cold, man.
Yeah, like I've seen enough to know I'm going to see this movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just the fact that we're talking about it might be Aliens is what the initial trailer was sort of suggesting.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't want to know more in a long trailer.
Yeah,
I just don't.
Okay, next movie, August 5th. Here's an interesting one. Bullet Train.
I've seen this trailer so
this
many
Brad
fucking
Pitt
times.
Actioner that seems pseudo-comedic.
It's Deadpool 2 guy directed it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And got a bunch of fun people in it. And yeah, so it's kind of like a, you know, John Wick / Deadpoolish.
But it is R-rated. This is an R-rated action
also.
Picture.
So,
you know, as much as I want to really like it, I haven't been interested in the trailers. I think it looks kind of limited and stupid, and I mean, Brad Pitt has a very limited box office appeal in certain things, and action comedy in Japan may be pushing it. Honestly, I hope I'm pleasantly shown I'm wrong. I'd be very happy. But
do you think he's gonna get any kind of bump from Lost City though?
And Sandra Bullock
is
in this
movie. No, I mean, he was such
movie.
A small part in that. I don't think so.
Yeah, but it was enough that he's memorable, and you know,
he's very funny in that. And that movie did do well.
Yeah,
and Sandra Bullock is in Bullet Train. They sort of
is she?
Yeah, they sort of traded supporting roles in their two movies this year.
Hmm.
She's if you've seen the trailer, she's the one on the phone
telling him what to do. Okay. Yeah. So
and I love me some Sandra Bullock. Even if it's just her voice, but I think she's actually in the movie as well.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, this one for me, I think it's like it's a movie that I am cautiously optimistic for because it looks like it could be a lot of fun. But I think even if it is a lot of fun, I think like Falk, like you said, this kind of very very specific kind of esoteric setup.
Yeah.
Is probably going to work against it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Mm,
well, you don't have to be afraid. I mean, it's not your movie.
No, I know, but I play the Hollywood stock market, and I bought long on.
You put it all on.
You've lost a lot on crypto revolving around this train movie. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna lose all my Ethereum.
Sorry,
that's a bummer.
That's terrible.
My stable coins are still worth zero though. So that's okay.
I don't know what to think of this movie. Well, I'll say this: I'm tired of the trailer. I'm sick of the trailer. The trailer plays before everything.
Yeah,
that aggravates the shit out of me. Tell me about your movie like 1 week, but let me try to remember it the next week. Don't drill it into my brain like a message coming from Donald Trump. So that's my problem with the marketing. The movie itself, I think it's probably, I mean, look, it's an R-rated movie. I mean, I know it's based on a novel, but it's not like an intellectual property movie. R-rated action comedy, which we really don't get a lot of.
Yeah.
I know Brad Pitt is probably an abusive monster. I don't know. But I do so far enjoy his performances. He seems to delight in making movies, and that's a kind of movie star quality that I really like he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So I'll sit with him for a while and give him a shot. And this movie looks silly enough that I'll.
So you're gonna give that Pitt kid a break, a shot.
I'm gonna give Pitt. I'm gonna give Pitt that Pitt kid a shot. I'm gonna give him a shot.
All right.
But just this one shot.
Fair enough.
This
one shot. If he doesn't do well, fuck it. But I agree with Steve as far as the box office is concerned. I don't think it will do particularly well, mostly because what. What new stuff does all that well? It usually, if it's really good, it picks up traction later.
Right.
All right.
How many we got left?
Just two. Real quick, August 26th, Samaritan, Sylvester Stallone comic book movie. It follows a young boy who seeks out a superhero who was thought to have gone missing after an epic battle 20 years ago.
$4.
Yeah. This is a fucking bomb. Out of the gate, Stallone does a PG-13 movie again that is an action movie.
Ugh.
It's a Rocky movie, okay, but you don't want another Expendables 3 situation, and he publicly said, I fucked up, I shouldn't have made that PG-13, it should have been R. Stallone in a superhero movie, the only way it's interesting to me is if I know it's going to be ultra-violent and R-rated.
Yeah.
And he has no appeal for families. When has he ever done well in the family film realm? You know, I mean, I guess Rocky's a family film, but outside of the Rocky thing, he's failed every time. There's no way.
It's a crash and burn.
Yeah. And it's going to be awful. I mean, at best case scenario, this will be a great, shitty movie to watch. It'll be fun, bad, possibly.
Okay, dope. So then we got August 31st, our last summer movie we're looking at, 3,000 Years of Longing, the George Miller bananas looking.
Idris Elba and...
Yeah,
and,
is the genie in a bottle.
Yeah. I think it looks tremendously fun and probably receive about the same attention that Nightmare Alley did. I think it's too esoteric and fucking weird, and won't make a lot, but I'm going to see it.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to do okay, but I don't think it's going to be a blockbuster, but it's going to win a lot of awards.
I agree with both of you. I mean, best case scenario, it has a Everything Everywhere All at Once sort of hit in it. I don't know. It's a weird concept, but I do like everybody involved. But also, a couple of weeks before this is slated to come out, Idris Elba's coming out in another movie, which is an action film in which he and his child are being hunted by an African lion.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I saw that trailer.
It's called Beast.
Oh, Beast, yeah.
And it's so weird. It's like, I want George Miller to direct Idris Elba in a movie about a lion. Yeah. Not in this other weird movie, but I'm.
There might be lions in 3,000 years of.
Hey, wait! Is he going to bottle punch any wolves in it?
I don't know. I don't know. All I'm saying is I will see both of these movies in August. August is
Elba. Elba. It's all Elba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need give Todd some Elba room. In August.
All right. On that note, that's our 2022 summer movie predictions.
Yay!
Those are good.
Keep track, listeners, and let us know how we did.
or not.
Yeah, let's move on to our next segment, which is. Oh, that's right. You know what that music means.
What?
Right, guys?
Treats for us.
Food? So
we're going to play a game.
Oh, fuck.
Not treats. A game.
I don't like these games. I like to
No. That's right. It's time. Guys, it's time to play Which Made More Money? A game sensation that's sweeping the nation. In Which Made More Money, players must guess which of two movies released in the same year made more money at the worldwide box office.
Oh, fuck. I'm gonna be clearly going to be bad at this.
You're going to be better at this.
I thought Chip and Dale made... No.
Would you listen to the rules?
Yeah, listen to the rules.
Correct answers are worth 2 points. Players take turns. There are no steals. There are 10 rounds. Each player will get their own set of movies from the same year per round. And the worldwide box office numbers have been taken from boxofficemojo.com. So if there's any arguments, it's their fault, not mine. I am blameless. Who wants to go first?
I will. My phone is right here. I could easily look these in.
Don't do that. We're then doing you're just being...
Honor system?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you
sure.
You believe Falk system. Is not going to... Okay.
Ugh, for fuck's sake. We're starting with last year. 2021.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Todd,
mm-hmm.
which made more money? No Time to Die or F9, The Fast Saga?
Oh, shit. That's actually... That's hard. Fuck. I'm gonna say No Time to Die?
That is correct.
Ah!
F9 The Fast Saga made just over $726 million, whereas No Time to Die made just over $774 million.
It was neck and neck.
So Chip and Dale made more money than Fast 9?
Not so far.
No, not yet.
I thought it was 800. It was 600?
No, it's 600. 600. Okay. Stephen Falk.
Yeah.
2021, your movies. Which made more money?
Why you say that so aggressively?
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings? Or Godzilla versus Kong?
Oh, shit. These are hard.
I think domestically, Shang-Chi made more. I think worldwide, Godzilla.
Is there
that
nuance?
That is correct.
Mm.
Worldwide, Shang-Chi made just over $432 million, whereas Godzilla vs. Kong made $468 million, just over. 2 points. Well done.
He doesn't get extra for saying this stuff about
No, world. There's no extra. If you'd listen to the rules...
No, I heard the rules. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I got extra. Right. I got extra.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says he got extra.
If you keep asking me if he gets extra, he's
going to... Skull keeps DMing me saying, yes, you get extra.
All right. Moving on. Backwards in time to 2020. Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Which made more money?
I don't know.
Sonic the Hedgehog or Bad Boys for Life?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
That is incorrect.
No fucking way!
Sonic the Hedgehog made just over $319 million, whereas Bad Boys for Life made over $426 million.
I'm a jerk.
In COVID? So during COVID?
During COVID?
That's crazy to me. I'm sure that Sonic Hedgehog... Because there's no Bad Boys 4 on slated, but never mind.
Stephen Falk.
No.
Which made more money?
Okay.
Wonder Woman 1984 or The Invisible Man?
Wonder Woman 1984.
That is correct.
Figure that out.
The Invisible Man made just over $143 million, whereas Wonder Woman 1984 made just over $166 million.
That's not very much for Wonder Woman. Jesus Christ. Well, it was COVID. Remember?
2 points. It was COVID, but then they also nixed the theatrical release.
Oh, right.
And also, you're forgetting that it sucks.
I didn't see it because I hated the first one so much.
Terrible. Oh, I didn't mind the first. I like the
first
one.
We're moving back. We're moving back in time to 2019.
All right.
Todd.
Yeah.
Which made more money?
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker or Joker?
Star Wars?
That is incorrect.
Fucking Christ.
I'm so sorry. And this one is a photo finish. Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Why are you giving me all the close ones?
And made $1,074,144,248 worldwide, whereas Joker brought in $1,074,251,311.
Well, I guess that's why Joker's getting a musical. And
Joker made a fucking $1 billion.
Joker made a fucking $1 billion. Joker beat a fucking Star Wars.
This is another one where I feel like, where am I? I don't know these people.
Stephen Falk.
Yeah.
2019. Which made more money?
Okay.
It Chapter 2 or Pokemon Detective Pikachu?
That's hard.
I'm going to say the Pokes.
Pokemon Detective Pikachu is incorrect. I'm sorry. It made $433 million just over, and It Chapter 2 made just over $473 million.
Wow.
I'm starting to get blown away by the amount of R-rated live-action movies that are blowing away more family-friendly animated or CGI-heavy fare. Interesting.
2018.
Interesting.
Todd. 2018, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Which made more money? Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, or Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Oh, for fuck's sake. I don't know. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I am sorry, that is incorrect.
How Ant-Man the fuck the am I always coming down on the wrong when I guess? It's a 50-50
Ant-Man and the
chance.
Wasp the quarters made just are not over going... $622 million, where Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, made just over $654 million.
I'm just saying the quarters always turn in the wrong way. It doesn't make sense, like odds-wise, always.
Stephen Falk.
Mm-hmm.
2018. Which made more money? Aquaman? Or Incredibles 2?
Well, I feel like Aquaman held absolutely no interest for me, but I feel like I remember it doing surprisingly well. I'm going to say that one.
You're saying Aquaman?
The Aquamans.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Wow.
Aquaman, while you are correct in that it did very well, it made $1,148 million just over. Incredibles 2 did slightly better at $1,242 million.
I very much like Incredibles 2.
Yes.
I still have not seen it.
Ah, it's so good.
All right. It's still a pretty close game. It's Falk's leading 4-2.
Okay.
Still anybody's game.
Sure.
2017, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Which made more money? Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, or The Fate of the Furious?
Fuck. Star Wars?
Star Wars is correct.
Oh, the corner went the right way.
Yeah. Fate of the Furious brought in $1,236 million and change, whereas Star Wars Episode VIII, The Last Jedi, brought in $1,332 million and
fucking
change.
Fucking dorks.
That's 2 points for Todd, tying up the game.
You fucking nerds. Get out of your basement.
Stephen Falk.
Yeah.
2017.
Yeah.
Which made more money?
Mm-hmm.
Dunkirk
mm.
or The Boss Baby?
Mm.
The Boss Baby 2 or The Boss Baby 1?
It's just The Boss Baby.
I'm going to say The Boss Baby.
The Boss Baby is correct.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
Dunkirk, it's sadly correct. Dunkirk made $525 million in change, whereas The Boss Baby made $527 million in change.
Boss Baby's a good movie.
Boss Baby.
Did you like Dunkirk?
I love Dunkirk even more.
Love me some.
I like Dunkirk more than Boss Baby, but if you mix them up, Baby in World in the War,
Boss Baby on the beach at Dunkirk, then there's your movie.
If the Boss Baby replaces Tom Hardy,
yeah,
in Dunkirk.
Yeah. If all my right. suit gets wrecked, those Germans are gonna.
All right, now things are going to get a little crazy in the back half,
because
we're going further back in time,
mm-hmm.
chunks at a time.
Is this the multiverse of madness we're entering?
No, we're going back in time to 2010.
Jesus, when money was
shit.
Different.
Todd.
I don't remember that.
Todd, 2010.
Kid was like,
Todd, we were doing this same dumb shit.
Oh, yeah. Right.
In 2010, which made more money? Little Fockers? Or Shutter Island.
Holy shit, that's a weird pairing. The Little Fockers, which is the third Fockers, if I'm to understand.
In the Fall Fockers multiverse.
In the Fockers cinematic universe.
So,
now, when Fockers. Did the pre... But wait, but Fockers was the first. Meet the Fockers and Little Fockers were second and third, but the really you know they're 4, 5, and 6.
It was Meet the Parents was the first,
yeah,
one. And then they
but the, started... Meet the Parents is number is episode 4.
Okay,
I didn't know there's the prequels.
Whoa, there's Focker the prequels,
Fockers prequels,
yeah. pre-Fockers,
the Focker Menace, Attack of the Fockers.
Yeah, there's a shit, man. I don't know.
Little Fockers
and Shutter Island?
We need an answer.
I'm going to go with Fockers, I guess.
Okay, you said both titles.
No, tell Fockers. Me which one you're going Fockers. With.
Fockers. All right. Little Fockers is correct.
Oh, thank God.
Shutter Island brought in $294 million. Little Fockers brought in $310
million. By the way, our YouTube review of Shutter Island. It's probably still up on YouTube.
It's probably still up on, yeah. So our listeners, you should really rush
check that
to see
out.
That.
You can see us drunk in a car before we drive.
Yeah, still just as just as timely as ever. Stephen Falk.
Yeah.
2010.
Mm-hmm.
Which made more money? Iron Man 2 or Inception?
Oh, shit.
It's a good question, Malige. This was sort of pre-Kevin Feige Marvel, the beginning of all of that. It was a Kenneth Branagh-directed one with Mickey Rourke.
Mickey
probably
Rourke.
Rourke.
Rourke. Is that how you say it?
I feel like Rourke. It was a bit of a critical stumble, but probably made a lot of money. Inception was a big phenomenon. It ain't no Dunkirk. I'm going to say Inception.
Inception is correct.
Nice.
Iron Man 2 brought in just over $623 million, whereas Inception brought in over $826 million.
I win.
That was very good. I can't get mad at that. The way he showed his work as he did it. And then
showed you my balls.
Yep.
He showed
we're going
his,
back in time. Oh, we're going back in time balls. To 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Todd.
Yeah.
Year 2000. Which made more money? Castaway or Gladiator?
Holy shitballs, that's a... God damn it. Shit. That's really difficult because
yeah, but you still need
Gladiator. I understand. I need to.
Wow, no sympathy, Jesus.
Falk did. He did a.
I didn't whine that it was a tough one.
Yeah, but he did. He went through a whole process. You're just sitting there going, "This is hard."
All right, fuck you, Gladiator.
Gladiator. Oh, it's correct.
Okay, good. Fuck you.
Castaway made over $429 million, whereas Gladiator made over $460
million. Piece of shit movie.
I hate Gladiator, but it won Best Picture, and I remember it being a global phenomenon, and I had to listen to my family tell me how great it was, even though I know it sucked. So that's why I thought it made more money, like Avatar, Titanic.
I was dating a girl, and I put my hand on her leg during the movie, and she took it off. We didn't last long.
It's because you look a lot like Joaquin Phoenix.
Stephen Fulton. Yes. Year 2000. Mm. Which made more money? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? Or Miss Congeniality?
Miss Congeniality or Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Comedies don't necessarily travel well. Action does. But the world is racist.
I love these puzzling.
I'm going to say Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality is incorrect.
Fuck, balls,
I'm sorry.
Shit, fuck.
Miss Congeniality brought in just over $212 million, yeah. Whereas Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon eked out just over $213.
Oh, come on, that's a dollar. $1.
It's one million. It's that's $1 in today's money.
Here, I'll pay you $2 and then I'll...
We're going further back in time to 1990.
Oh, boy.
Todd. Fuck.
Yeah.
Which made more money?
Oh, boy.
Dances with Wolves?
Wolves.
Or Pretty Woman?
How the fuck do I know? I don't fucking know. That's crazy. Pretty Woman. It has to be.
Pretty Woman is incorrect.
Fuck you!
While it brought in over $178 million worldwide, Dances with Wolves beat it out with over $184 million worldwide.
Damn. Dances with Wolves. Like 3.5 hours that movie is.
Yeah, no, the Wolves really
Wolves
rock.
Did better than Pretty Woman. Does Wolves have a musical touring the United States right now? I don't think so. What about the musical dollars? That should be added to the box office of the film.
Steve
yes.
And probably all the money that Gary Marshall made Stephen off of other sisters.
That's what I said about Miss Congeniality, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
1990. Which made more money? The Hunt for Red October or Die Hard 2?
Oh, I was thinking of Legally Blonde. What's Miss Congeniality? Sandra Bullock goes to high school.
It's a beauty pageant.
Oh, yeah. I meant Legally Blonde.
You can't.
Can I change my answer?
You can't change the movie to Legally Blonde.
All right, read it again. Read this one
again. Stephen Falk, 1990. Which made more money, The Hunt for Red October or Die Hard 2?
Oy boy. I feel like I'm going to be tricked. I feel like this is a trick. You're trapping me.
I'm
going to say Die Hard 2.
Die Hard 2 is incorrect.
You fucking motherfucker.
It made just over $117 million. Whereas Hunt for Red October worldwide made over $120 million.
You trick fucker.
He did it to us both, like right in a row.
And so you guys know we're tied 8-8.
That's a trick. I call trickery.
We have two left.
Stop tricking us.
This is sorcery. This is sorcery.
We have two rounds left and it's tied up. It's anybody's game.
Stop.
Anybody's game. Todd.
Trickery.
1980.
Oh, Jesus.
Which made more money?
I don't know.
Stir Crazy or 9 to 5?
Oh, fuck off. This is like...
This is before China existed.
Jesus. Yeah, China wasn't a part of the market.
There was no China anymore.
All right.
Work it out.
9 to 5 or...
Stir Crazy.
Do you know what the theme song went?
9 to 5 or Stir Crazy?
Stir Crazy, stirring it up.
Stir Crazy,
we're in jail. Stir Crazy. Oh my God, that's so hard. Okay, so first I want to go with...
Was Stir Crazy? Is it a Randy Newman?
It's vaguely racist and kind of problematic. Stir Crazy. Yeah,
Stir Crazy, that's exactly what I was going to say. So that like looking back, it's that, and it's the one with dudes.
I'm going to need an answer someday.
It's one with dudes, and this is 1980, and there's one with ladies. So which one would make more money at the box office in 1980? Because we live in a very clearly misogynistic society, it has to be Stir Crazy, has to have made more money in
1980. Stir Crazy is incorrect.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
We are also very, very racist. You forgot.
Stir Crazy brought in...
Yeah, but there's a white guy and a black guy.
Yeah.
Stir Crazy brought in over $101 million, whereas 9 to 5 brought in just over $103 million worldwide.
Oh, well.
Stephen Falk.
Yeah.
Stephen Falk, 1980. Which made more money?
Mm.
The Blue Lagoon?
Ooh.
Or Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Ah. Horn Dogs versus Fun Cop Redneck Shit. Are we more horny or more redneck? I think it's
an impossible question.
I say we are more redneck. Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Smokey and the Bandit 2 is correct.
Yeah! Fuck yeah. Fuck you, Todd.
It made just over 66 million.
Piece of garbage.
Whereas Blue Lagoon brought in just over 58 million.
Yeah, fuck you.
But on that last question, you pitted for me America's racism against its sexism. And you just gave Falk whether they were horny or redneck. I mean,
to go first.
This is crap.
I won.
Last one. No, we got last one.
Oh,
there's one more.
So, Todd, you have a chance to tie it up and to tie the game.
Do you have a tie breaker?
Or lose it and be a loser.
We don't need a tiebreaker. We don't need a tiebreaker.
Well, I'm already a loser.
You're not going to win.
All right, so.
You're not going to get this one.
1977.
You're going to pick wrong.
And remember, 1977 is the year Star Wars came out, and it's worldwide gross. Numbers was over 307 million.
That's a lot.
So clearly my answer is Star Wars. Okay, now do Falk's.
Right. So 1977, Todd.
Uh huh.
Which made more money?
Why do you say it like that? It's so
the
scary.
The Spy Who Loved Me?
Uh-huh.
Or Oh God?
Oh, Jesus. Okay. The Spy Who Loved Me led to Moonraker, but it was part of an established franchise.
This guy who loved me,
figuring this out.
He loved me.
Oh God, spawned was the first of its kind. First of its
this guy who loved
whatever
me.
Thing,
it
and
not.
It spawned two sequels.
The Spy Who Stir Crazy.
The Spy Who.
Need an answer.
We're losing
our audience here.
All right, I'm going with James Bond.
The Spy Who Loved Me is correct.
Ooh,
thank Christ almighty.
The Spy Who Loved
Me. Oh God brought in just over 41 million. The Spy Who Loved Me brought in over 46 million. That is tying it up. So Falk.
Yeah, ask
tied
him.
10 to 10.
Ask
you've
him a hard, unfair question
is,
like you've been asking
is,
me.
This is the winner. This is could be the winner.
Yeah, ask him a hard, unfair one though.
1977. Which made more money? Close Encounters of the Third Kind, or Smokey and the Bandit?
Close Encounters.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind is incorrect. It made just over $116 million worldwide, whereas Smokey and the Bandit, the original, made over $126
million
worldwide.
Damn, them
redneck.
He tricked you.
It is a tie game.
I know. I called trickery and sorcery in this game.
For all of Todd's anger and complaining, he managed to tie.
Oh.
So congratulations
I feel bad
to all our players.
You feel
even
bad?
Even the ones who complained.
You feel bad?
I really don't feel bad.
Being a piece of shit? ruins every week?
We only do this once a month.
But yeah, you ruin every week,
but it feels like once a week.
Yeah. No, he just ruins every week.
All right, sometimes that's just... it. That is our show. Thanks for listening to the Film Pigs podcast. Thank you to my fellow Film Pigs, Stephen Fult.
No.
Anderson.
Trickery and sorcery.
Thank you.
Also, a big thanks to Adam Blau for all of our music.
Whatever.
Thank you, Adam Blau.
And well done on the game, you guys.
We'll see you at the movies.
Anyone
ever said that?
Until then, trademark. The balcony is closed.
I'll see you at the balcony.
I'll fight you in the balcony.
Give me my.
At the movies.
Did you give me my milk duds, you skinny fuck? Is that one taken?
Did you just say milk nuts?
Milk duds.
Oh.
I wanted him to say milk duds.
Wear my red vines, you cocksucker. Until next week, give me my red vines, you cocksucker.
Fight.
I'm going to cause a scene in the lobby.
All right. Should I stop this?
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, well, let's definitely stop.